Amen. But grab your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's where we'll be. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I figured since Brother Grady was here on Sunday for Father's Day, and then Brother Paul was here Sunday morning, and then Brother Rarden is going to be here on this coming Sunday all day, that I wouldn't have one of the guys fill in for Pastor Legault. I figured I'd preach, you know, once. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. I'll read a couple verses here. And he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." And so, of course, the church at Corinth is a highly carnal church. We all know that. Of all the churches that Paul dealt with, they seem to be the most fleshly, the most carnal. They're the ones he's kind of always laying into a little bit on that side of things. And he starts off the book here in 1 Corinthians talking about these divisions that have shown up and that there's contention among them. And contention is strife or struggle, a violent effort to obtain something or to resist a person, claim, or injury, ultimately an angry contest or a quarrel, some sort of controversy that has to take place. If somebody's contentious, they're looking for a fight, ultimately. They're looking to quarrel with somebody. They're always looking for a reason. And you know some people like that. They're always looking for something to be wrong so they can go ahead and throw down and fight real quick. They're just contentious. And that is not the way we're supposed to be. As Christians, we're certainly not supposed to be that way. And I find that the opposite of contentious is being content. They sound real similar, but they're nothing alike. You're either content or you're contentious. Either you're fine and everything's okay and you can, you know, whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, or you're contentious and you're going up against everybody just trying to get more because you're not content. You're discontented for whatever reason, and it causes us to be very contentious, to have a lot of strife and to have a lot of issues. And this is a message that I like because it's preventive. If you don't have contentions, don't make anything out of nothing, right? Don't make something out of nothing. If there's nothing to contend about, then there's no reason to have it. And you can keep it out by not causing it. Contention is avoidable. It's avoidable. It's one of the few things we can definitely avoid. Now, trouble in this life is unavoidable. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And there's all sorts of verses, right? Man is few days and full of troubles, right? That's not avoidable. We're all going to have troubles. But contention is avoidable because it's caused by somebody doing something that causes contention. And so we're going to look at being content or contentious tonight. And so let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you. Lord, you are good to us. You're merciful to us. We're so thankful that you're just so forgiving of us, Father. And oftentimes we can be contentious. We can be cantankerous with each other and, Lord, with you. And Father, in our own families, in our own lives, we pray that that wouldn't be the case, though, that we would be content with such things as we have, and we'd look to you and know that you've got it all under control. Father, once again, I pray you'd bless the night, bless the Word of God as it's preached, and give us wisdom, give us understanding, help us to, Lord, see what you want us to see tonight. You just lighten our eyes and help us, Lord, to see what needs to be done in our own personal lives, in our own personal walks, so that we can stay content, Lord, and not get into contentions. Father, we love you, and I do pray, Lord, for unity, for peace, for comfort, Lord, within our families, Lord, as well as within our church and our workplace. Father, all those places that we need you. Father, please show yourself strong. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And contention, we find contention is quite common. It's something that happens real easy and real often. Contention shows up, ladies, I'm not picking on you, but there's three references in the Bible to contentious wives, right? The likening is that Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is a calamity to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Chapter 21:19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. The Bible warns about a woman who looks to fight. That's the idea. They're always looking for something. And I'm not harping on you. That's not what I mean to do. Ladies, right? We can understand that very quickly. Ladies can be very contentious at times. There's one of the warnings. And the son is Proverbs. Solomon's warning his son, hey, pay attention. If she's contentious and always looking to fight, it's not going to be very good at the house. Right? Gentlemen, I don't know about you, right? You want to come home to a peaceful house. You deal with enough out there at the workplace, you don't want to come home and have more problems and fighting there. So that's why Solomon warns against it. He says, hey, if she's contentious already, you don't want her to be contentious and live with that for the rest of your life. That's a pretty good warning, because none of us want contention, but we can see contention everywhere. He talks about the women that way, but he doesn't just talk about them. He talks about drunkards. Drunkards are contentious. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Well, jump to the end. They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. A drunkard's contentious. You know about them. Always looking for a fight. They looked at me funny and now I'm going to go fight them. Why? Because you're a drunkard. That's your problem. All right. We've all seen portrayals of that and pictures of that. Fool's contentious. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calleth for strokes. Fools look for contention. Foolish people are contentious at that point. You start looking around at some of these people and you say, well, boy, you know, I don't fit in any of those categories. All right, well, Paul and Barnabas had contention, didn't they? Well, that tells me some of the best of us can fall prey to being contentious with somebody. There's a sharp contention. You read the book of Acts, right? It's over John Mark. And there's such a sharp contention between Paul and Barnabas about that young man who had left, who had walked away. And Paul said, I'm done with him. I'm not bringing him. I don't want him. And Barnabas said, no, you got to give him another shot. And they were so against each other. There was so much contention. The two of them couldn't stay together. They part and they split up. And Paul goes one way and Barnabas goes the other, and away it goes. So that could never happen to me. It happened to one of the best Christians on the planet and the guy who trained him. Barnabas trained Paul in the ministry. It started off Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas was taking Paul where he needed to go. And then pretty soon Paul took over. And now it's Paul and Barnabas. But then it got to John Mark and now it's on. And he wouldn't listen. Paul wouldn't listen. He wouldn't go ahead and acquiesce at all to Barnabas and the idea that he had that John Mark. And then you say, why do you say Paul wouldn't acquiesce? Because at the end of his ministry, we all know the declaration he makes. Oh, hey, send John Mark. Why? Because he's profitable to me for the ministry. He found out later Barnabas was right. And the contention that he had was all about what Paul wanted. And he couldn't see anybody else's view. See, contention is so easy for us to get into because the cause is so easy for us to have in our lives. And I think everybody struggles with this. I think everybody struggles with the one absolute cause of contention. Go back to Proverbs chapter 13. If you don't know the verse, it's Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Be careful, because the Bible tells us very specific things. When it says only, it means only. We like those verses where all means all and that's all that means. Okay, well, only means only. All right? And so you get to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, and he says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You say, what causes contention? Pride. That's the only thing that gets you contentious with anybody else. Pride. You have a problem with somebody else and you want to throw down and fight with them because of pride. Why does the drunkard feel like so-and-so can't give him that look? Pride. Who cares? He looked at you funny. Who cares? Ladies, not trying to pick on you. But if you ever get contentious with your husband and at your house and everything, why are you feeling that way? Pride. Why does a fool speak up and say things that are just complete contention? Because they're being proud. Why did Barnabas and Paul have such contention between them? Pride. Neither one of them would let it go. Now, Barnabas was in favor of John Mark, and now his pride may have been because he didn't want to see John Mark fall. He thought he could keep that one together. Seems he was right. And maybe he wasn't even proud about it. But I know Paul was. Because he refused to go ahead and humble himself and take somebody and give him another shot. No forgiveness. No humility. See, pride will cause you to have contentions. You realize that the only time, think of all the times you've been contentious with somebody else. Think of all the arguments you've ever had, all the fights that have ever gone on, all the things. You notice any commonality of pride in your own heart? Why won't you just let that go? Why won't you just forgive? Why won't you just, it's real simple, because I don't deserve that. It's about me and what I want. What do I want done? How do I want? How come nobody wants to do it my way? How come this? And you could go ahead and bow up and you could be proud and you know what you'll have? You'll have contention every time. Only by pride cometh contention. Only. It's all a pride issue. Well, we know what the problem is there. That Satan is king over all the children of pride. You're going back under the old king. And in the context back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you know what you have? You have a church who's full of contentions, which means they're full of pride, which means they're back under the control of the devil. Is that church honoring God? Well, not at all, because they're allowing divisions and offenses and all the things. You realize that in the church, Paul's constant reminder to the church is not to have divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you've heard. If you're causing contentions and divisions, the Lord doesn't want it. What eliminates that? Everybody being humble and following what God said. It's humility to God. Now that doesn't mean if somebody's doing the wrong thing, that you don't stand up and speak the truth and do what you're supposed to do. That's not what he said. They're contentious because they choose not to submit to the word of God. Humility. Two different things. That's why I would say, John, that Barnabas probably was not contentious. But we know Paul was. Because Paul would not submit to the reality of to forgive. Who is better at giving second chances than God? Second and third and fourth and fifth and 908 and 1,020. And we look at him and we just keep racking up the try agains. And he says, I'll forgive you again and we'll try again. And here's John Mark failed once. And Barnabas says, I think he can try again. I think he's ready to try again. And Paul said, I'm having none of it. Too proud to go ahead and give a young man another shot. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if you were never given a second shot at anything? Now I know Some of you are amazing, and you get it right the first time every time. But for the rest of us who are normal, right, we mess it up the first try sometimes. And we go, I don't even know how to do this right today. And somebody comes by and they give you some advice and you go, okay, we'll try that. And we go ahead and we go forward and we try again. And sometimes that works and sometimes we still mess it up. And so we need another try and another try and another try. But Paul was not having it. Say, what's the problem? Pride. Because only by pride cometh contention. Look over at Proverbs chapter 6. I have a feeling I'm going to preach out of Proverbs chapter 6 at some point. Because I talk about it a lot. Because it's strange. We look at some things as not a big deal that God puts in the short list of things that he hates. Right? Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. If God had to put down six or seven things that he hates, this is what he'd put right here, because he did. A proud look, number one. Well, I mean, right off the bat, first thing, proud look. That's what he hates. First thing that came to mind, proud look. That's how much he hates pride. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. Look at this last part. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Isn't that kind of contentious if you're sowing discord? There he is. He starts and ends the list with pride, the cause of contention, and contention. Strangely enough, his answer is, and he that soweth discord among brethren. It's strange when you get to the first few, it's a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief. But you get to verse 19, and it's the individual. It's not the thing, it's the individual. Well, God doesn't hate anybody. According to that verse, he hates a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Oh, well, he just hates the sin that we do. He hates you if you're doing those two things. He hates you, evidently. You can't prove. That's what he said. He didn't say the false things he says. He says, no, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. That means he doesn't like those two people. He hates those two people. God wouldn't hate anybody. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God loves everybody. He loved him enough to die for him. Amen. But he hates you if you want to keep going down that road. You want to get it right, he's all set. He'll forgive. He loves you. You want to keep doing it, he hates you. Christian, God loves me. Hey, sure, yeah. You do that, he hates you. He said so. He only gave you a few things that he hates. You want to do all the things he hates? I don't know what to tell you. Because it's right there. It's strange. I love the Lord. Okay, yeah, but does he hate you? And does he hate what you do? That's a scary thought. Well, he loves me. You got a little charismatic in you. Because that you just eliminated it. Well, God just loves me. God is love. Okay, you're getting in the charismatic realm now. If that's all he is, that he couldn't hate what you're doing, then you've got a funny view of who God is. That is the reality of contention. The reality of contention is God hates it and he hates people who are doing it. Well, then how do I fix it? That's the big question. How do I keep from doing it? And how do I get out of doing it? And how do I get forgiven from when I'm doing it? Well, there's a great cure. Because the answer ultimately is to love the Lord's book. You know, it's strange. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19, he says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their bars are like the bar, or, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." You offend somebody, say, "Well, why did I get offended? Pride." Why do you get offended by what people say and do? Pride. Right? Say, so you're preaching against pride tonight, basically. Because pride causes contention. If you eliminate the cause, you don't have the symptoms. Right. If only our medical professionals could start to figure that out, right? If we get rid of the cause of all the symptoms, then all the symptoms go away. If we get rid of the root problem, there is no problem to worry about. So if we could eliminate our pride, we wouldn't have any problems. So if offenses cause contentions that are so bad they're like the bars of a castle, well, then you get to Psalm 119 and verse 165, and he says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." How many of you love that verse, right? We all love that verse. It's like my favorite. I used to have that taped on my steering wheel driving in Florida. And if you've ever driven in Pensacola, everything is offensive because they don't know how to drive at all there. Like, some of the worst drivers I have ever seen, guaranteed, live in Pensacola, Florida. I have no idea. They're awful. This one woman driving down Davis Highway. I'm in the middle lane of a divided, now it's only like 40 miles an hour through there, I think, whatever it is. It's in town. But you have three straight lanes in town going one direction. I believe it's north because it's North Davis Highway. So heading north, and you've got three straight lanes heading south with a median in between, turning lanes for both sides whenever you need to turn. And this lady, I'm in the middle lane. She's in the right-hand lane, moves to the middle lane in front of me, and then proceeds to just stop in the middle of the road. Now, thankfully, not a lot of cars around us, and I maneuvered around her to try and figure out what that was, to realize she needed to turn left. And so now she's turned sideways, going across Davis Highway, trying to get over so she can turn left, pretty much right now, in the midst of a sea of cars. And I thought, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." See, why is that taped to your steering wheel? Because I would look down in anger. And the Lord would go, "Great peace have they which love thy law." So you can't rip them out of their car and beat them right here in the streets. You can't do it, all right? It's what we want. Isn't that what we want? We just want to give them a black eye, right, Stan? And here we are, and you say, what's the problem? Remember what he says. If I'm proud and I'm arrogant, if I'm feeling that way, if I'm doing those things, that must mean that there's pride coming up in me and I can't be contentious. I have to do it his way, not my way. My way is going to be wrong. His way is always going to be right. So if I love his law, then what he says is what I will do. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, yeah, but they're wrong. Okay? So Christ at Calvary is still at peace. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He's at peace knowing he's doing it God's way regardless of what they are doing. Why am I contentious with my wife? Why am I contentious with my husband? Why am I contentious with my kids? Why am I contentious with my coworkers? Why am I contentious? Because you don't have great peace. Because you don't love his book enough. You've put what you want over what he said. Say, I don't like this. Me neither. And it's my pride that doesn't like it. Because my pride says, yeah, but. And God says, and I said. These are some of those strange absolutes God puts in the Bible. Only by pride cometh contention. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. That's an absolute. If I love his book, I'm not going to be offended. I don't like it any more than you do. But it is what he said. Then the fault is with me, it's not with him. And the pride is in me, it's not in him. And the contention is because of me, it's not because of him. Have you ever been contentious with God? I mean, surely not. Right? You've never thought, God, why are you doing this to me? You've never thought that. God, why is this happening? And God, how come? And we've never thought that because we would never think that poorly of God. But we would think that highly of us. Contention with him? Why do I have contention with God? Pride. Because you don't love what he says. Say, all right, well, okay, if I fall in love with God's word, everything's fixed. Well, except for the fact that you also need to learn how to leave things alone. He says in Proverbs 17, verse 14, the beginning of strife is as one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. You see, we start to see the contention and we meddle. I got to fix it. We don't know how to leave anything alone. We're really bad at leaving stuff alone. We got to fix it. Gentlemen, we're pretty much the worst at that. We got to fix it. But ladies, you have your own way, right? The guy is in there like, we got to fix the problem, so we're going to do it. Ladies, you have a different way. You want to fix the problem and make everybody feel better to calm everybody down. But sometimes if you meddle, it makes it worse. I'm going to give you the great example. Because the Lord makes sure we understand that where there is no wood, there the fire goeth out. I was burning some stuff here in the back, in the fire pit back there. I had a bunch of lumber and stuff from all the porches we'd ripped apart and things. And I got through most of it, but I had to leave. So I was letting it all burn down. But I had a lot in there, and it was burning real hot. Because it's all dried. It's been sitting out there a long time. And so and I left for a couple of hours. I came back. Everything had burned. There's no flames left. It was down below the stones when I walked away. Like, it was low. I made sure nothing was going to go up, I promise. Made sure everything was good to go. And I left, and then we came back. I come back a couple hours later, got this mound of ashes, right? Mound of just burnt up whatever. And I came back and I just stirred it. And I put one box on it. Right? Just about gone, but just stirring it a little bit. So what'd you do? I meddled with it. And you know what I got? I just threw one little piece in and I got fire back. Hadn't cooled down all the way. And then you know what I did? I threw the rest of the lumber on and we had ourselves a huge fire again. And it didn't take long for it to get going. Say, why? Just meddled with it. You know what we need to quit doing? Meddling with things that are done. And if we would just stop putting wood on it, and if we'd stop stirring the pot, and we'd stop doing all those things with situations that are completely out of our control anyways, if we would just leave it alone, you know what would happen? It'd cool down the rest of the way, and it would be done and over with, and nobody would be any wiser. But we're not good at not meddling. And we stir it up. Hey, so how did that go? Oh, hey, I saw that they did that to you a couple weeks ago. Are you okay? Oh, hey, I noticed. Do you feel all right now? Are you good now? I mean, I just want to make sure everybody's okay. I find that's usually the ladies' side right there. They want to make sure everybody's okay. So they stirred up, and just about the time it would have been gone, that was where it got stirred. Gentlemen, we're really good at the moment it happens to throw another log on and tell them, hey, you know what I would do? Right? There's the difference. The difference is, see, we'll gladly just keep stoking it to watch it burn. The ladies, you sometimes have that tendency of just, I just want to make sure everybody's okay. When they're pretty much okay, but because now you've brought it back up, it becomes back to life in their mind. When it's sometimes just good to let it die right where it is. Lastly, ultimately, it's lowly living, humility. Remember to stay humble, and you know what you won't have? You don't have contention. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth. All these verses we know. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. We know all the verses, we're just not really good at doing all the verses. So why do I feel so contentious? Because you're proud. You ever notice on the days, that you got some days where you're prickly, right? You know what I mean? You're a little prickly. Everything irritates you. Everything bothers you. Nobody can do anything right on those days, right? I mean, I'm sure I'm probably the only one. Right? Evidently I am. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Appreciate you. You say, what's usually the problem? Well, you're feeling contentious. So what's the cure? You're probably proud somewhere. Something happened in there back there, and you feel like something's not fair going on in whatever's going on. Somebody said something, somebody did something. You know what I find that happens to me. And I'm like, I'm irritable with everybody. And I can't figure out why. And suddenly it's like the Lord taps me and finally just goes, it's you. Like, what do you mean? It's everybody else. They're annoying me. Or says, no. You didn't deal with this back here. You're letting that bother you, and it's bothering you, and it's bothering you. And the Lord says, you need to fix that, and you need to fix it with me. Yeah, you've got contentions out there, and you can have problems out there with everybody else, right? But ultimately, pride is not a question about you to them. Pride is a question between you and him. You think too highly of what God's allowed to happen to you. You think you deserve a better life. You think you deserve a better this or a better that. You don't think you should deserve to be treated that way. And how come God hasn't revenged all of your enemies with fire and brimstone? And so you go, well, and we're grumbling and we're griping and we're complaining, and only by pride cometh content. So what do we got to do? Well, I got to get my pride out of my way. I got to put that down. And I'm just as much of a culprit as anybody else in this room. I guarantee you of that. That we've got to just go ahead and say, God, it's not me, or it's not all of them, it's all me. It's me. I'm contentious because I'm being proud, because I don't love your book the way I'm supposed to, and I am not leaving things alone. I'm not forgetting the things that have already been forgiven. I'm remembering the things that I was supposed to have forgiven. I'm bringing them back up in my mind. I'm going ahead and I'm meddling with all these things that I know I shouldn't be, and I'm getting into these things and I'm causing problems and I'm doing that, and it's me, because I won't humble myself before you and trust that you're right and I'm wrong. It's me. Look over at Philippians chapter 1. And then we'll go. Philippians chapter 1. And verse number 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul talking. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, but supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified by in my body, whether it be by life or by death. We know what's happening here. Paul says, hey, Christ is getting preached. On the one side, it's because of love, and they love the Lord and they just want to preach it. But there's this group of people over here who are preaching Christ knowing it's going to add affliction to me, and they're preaching Christ out of sheer contention for me, knowing that it's going to cost me more because they will keep preaching Christ. And you know what his statement is, basically? I'm good with whatever. Just because somebody else is contentious with you does not mean you need to be contentious. Paul is contented in his bonds, knowing that as long as Christ is magnified, he does not care. Whether by life or by death, Christ is getting magnified, and it doesn't matter to me which way it goes. That tells me you can get to a place where it doesn't matter what they do. Their actions, their contentions do not mean you have to be contentious. You can stay content even when everybody else is contentious with you. That's a good deal. Because your peace is not conditional on them. It's conditional upon the Lord and the humility you have and the relationship you have with Him. Father, I thank you for the night. I thank you once again. Lord, you're good to us. You're forgiving. You're the God of second, third, and a million chances. Because you love us, you want us to succeed. But Father, I do pray you'd help us to keep out any contention that could possibly be here. Lord, between our families, in the church, at work, I pray you'd protect your people from contention. Father, you'd help us to see it, recognize it quick, get our pride under control, put it down so that we can go ahead and give you praise and just lift you up higher. Father, I love you, and I do pray you'd bless us tonight. Keep us safe as we go, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a good night.